Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We've got a number of visitors with us. Again, it's hard to imagine. It's been a whole year since you guys have been here. We always want to welcome our visitors. We're glad to have you worship with us. It's an honor to have you. Have an announcement, a prayer request that we will announce before we get started. Deborah Webster has asked prayers for her sister-in-law, Angela Jefferson, and her family. She has just become a guardian of a girl, and she is has a number of suicidal tendencies, and asked for prayers to keep them and the girl in her prayers, and also to keep her son Nathaniel, who his duty station is in Pensacola, Florida. He is in the Marines. And let's go to God on behalf of these people before we get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly right now, asking forgiveness for the things that we do wrong. We ask that there be nothing standing between us and you hearing our prayers. Dear God, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We're so thankful that we can come to you boldly in prayer. Dear God, we ask that you please be with Angela Jefferson at this time and her family. We pray that as she cares for this girl who is facing problems, you be with her and maybe let the girl have the love and the comfort that she needs at this time to get away from these suicidal thoughts and so forth. We pray that you be with the doctors that treat her. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Deborah's son, Nathaniel. He's serving our great country right now. We ask that you be with him, keep him and all of our service members safe. We're thankful for it's people like that benefit people like us, that we can live in a free country, and we're thankful for them. Dear God, be with us as we continue our worship to you. We pray that everything be done in spirit and in truth. We pray through your son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to look today at a passage in Colossians. Frank read the scripture reading. It's part of this passage. We're going to be looking at Colossians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. Just to kind of delve into this, I like some of the phrases that Tracy uses. You know, dig into it, peel it back, and these 10 verses really have a lot of meat in it. And yes, Paul had a specific message to the Christians in Colossae, but a lot of these things are applicable to us today. And I would like for us to look at these. Paul starts out, he says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." He's making them aware that there are hardships to endure as a Christian. You know, is not that that's any big news. You know, it's not to us. There are some people, especially new in the faith, that are a little shocked that when hardships hit them right upside the head, well, shouldn't I be safe from that stuff as a Christian? No. We still live in this world. And we're going to face the hardships while we're living in this world that everybody else faces. And sometimes, as a Christian, more are brought to us. The persecutions, the ridicule, the segregation in the workplace or in society that separates us. Look at how Christians are portrayed in the media. On any given TV show, it's usually in a negative light. Another thing that this shows is there are Christians in Colossae that have never met Paul personally, but yet they're brothers and sisters in Christ. That is one of the great joys when we travel, when we are visitors in another congregation, we are accepted. When we travel someplace and attend in another congregation in another city, or maybe even in another country. You know, we have contact with some of the missionaries that we support in India and in Kenya and in South Korea. Whole nother continents, but we are brothers and sisters in the kingdom. And that is great comfort. Even though there may be a conflict, we have a comfort that a lot of the people in the world do not have. He goes on to say in verse 2 that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Paul uses the term being knit together. There is a strength in that. But you know what? When I think of being knit together, I think of a garment that sometimes can rip. I think of it more as a chain. Yes, we're knit together, but not just like a fabric. We are bound by something the world does not understand. We are bound together, some of those people that have maybe never laid eyes on each other. There is a strength there, a bond there, being knit together that the world cannot tear apart. And it says, encouraged and knit together in love. The love, the same love that Christ had for the church. That's what binds us together. And he goes on to say, the full understanding to the knowledge of God. We've been talking in Bible class recently, the difference between just reading the Bible and studying it. When we study it, we come to that knowledge, come to that full understanding, not just the words, but an understanding of what God is wanting us to know. You know, we use Paul's writing in 2 Timothy 2:15 about studying to show ourselves approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth. That's understanding. Not just, there are people I've known that have memorized large sections of the Bible, but do they understand it? I remember in eighth grade we had to memorize the preamble to the Constitution. It was We had to do it. There was a lot of the words I didn't even know what it meant. But I memorized it. There's a difference in memorizing, being able to read the Word of God, and having that full understanding to the knowledge of God. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what we glean when we study God's Word. We not only have that understanding, but we find those hidden gems. How often do you read something? You've read it 86 times before, and on the 87th time, something just jumps out at you, and it opens your eyes. Or maybe you had come to an understanding of another passage since the last time you'd read this passage, and because of what you had read over here, it totally opens it up. And you get it. It clicks. That wisdom and knowledge. There's a difference in just knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is putting it into practice. Wisdom is applying it. And how sad is it if you have knowledge but don't use it? Proverbs 2, verse 6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. This wisdom is not a worldly wisdom. It is a religious, spiritual, godly wisdom. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, Paul said that reminds us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's not by man. It's not left, as the Apostle Peter said, left up to our own interpretation. It's from God. And we can have this wisdom and knowledge and find in His Word those treasures, those hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he explains why he has said this. He says, now I say this, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. The world is full of people preaching persuasive words. At this very moment, this very day, when many people come together under the name of worship, there are people preaching unscriptural teachings. For whatever reason, it may be for personal reasons, it may be through misunderstanding, it may be for whatever reason. But many of them may be teaching and using very persuasive words. There is a term floating around the last few years, new hermeneutics. Tracy's class is fitting right into this. How we study the Bible. There are people that want to come up with, there's a new way of understanding things. It's the same way to understand God's Word as it was in the first century. But there's people that want to teach a new way of study to get to a conclusion that's different. That teaching that everything is acceptable. Oh, we're all going to the same place. We're just going there by different roads. Different ideas of how salvation can be obtained. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 8, Paul starts out his letter to the Galatians. He says, I marvel that you're turning so soon to a different gospel. And he says, which is not really a gospel. And he says, whether we or angels preach anything else to you than what you'd already heard, let them be accursed. Paul pulled no punches in that. Verse 5 says, for though I am absent in the flesh, he's telling them again, we've never met, but I love you, you're beloved to me. For though I am absent in the flesh, I'm not there to be able to teach this to you, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That's important. The good order, that things are done in good order. And that you're steadfast. Isn't that, or shouldn't that be the goal of every congregation of the Lord's church? Mm-hmm. To have things done in good order, in proper order, and to be steadfast in the faith. And it ties in the previous verses, putting that knowledge and the faith that you've had into practice. Because if you don't, you know, Jesus said in John 4:24 that we must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, one without the other, they go hand in hand. One without the other is insufficient. There's a lot of people worshiping in the attitude, but not in truth. Or there's a lot of people worshiping maybe in the proper way without the right heart. One without the other doesn't get us anywhere. Verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We've talked about this recently in some other sermons quite a bit. The walking in him. It's a lifestyle. It's not something we do Sunday morning. I wish I could look as good as you. You are dapper, man. I wish I could look that good. You could... What does it say? Put lipstick on a pig? I mean, you can put me in that. I still don't look that good. It's not a Sunday morning thing. It's not it's Sunday morning. Let's flip the switch and put our Christian attitudes on. We'll listen to the church music while we're going to church. We get here, the moment we open up the door, we're in church mode. It's not that. We live it. If we're here for let's say you come to Bible class. I'll give you that one. Let's say you come to Bible class. You're here, what, 2 hours? Compared to the rest of the week? That's not living it. If you're turning the switch on, let's put our church clothes on and play Christian. That's not what Paul's saying. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. As we go through our life walking, living, we live it, we practice it, we abide with him. 1 John 1:7 The Apostle John wrote, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his Son, Christ Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. If we have to live it. Not flipping a switch, not a temporary thing that you just give it a thought momentarily. He goes on to explain how you do that. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. As you have been taught, you know how you've been taught. Are you living up to it or not? Matthew 28:19-20, what we refer to as the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world, baptizing them in all the nations, teaching them everything that I've commanded you. Don't leave some of this stuff out. Don't pick and choose. It's not a buffet that, ooh, I really like this. I'll take extra this. This, ooh, I don't like at all. I'm going to skip that. It's not that. Teaching everything. Paul says, as you've been taught, you teach others. And he says, abounding in it. Grow. Expand. Abound in it. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul told Timothy, you teach men, faithful men, that can teach others also. We're rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught. We need to do that to others. Luckily, if we think about our lives, somebody or multiple people have had a hand in teaching us. That's why we are here today. Somebody has taught us. Some Bible class teacher, moms and dads, grandparents, some preacher, maybe long ago, they may not even still be around, had a hand in teaching us. And we, as we've been taught, according to the Bible, teach others. Beware. Beware. Lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Beware lest anyone cheat you. There's a few things, just individually, personally, I really despise in life. I hate cheaters. I hate liars. I hate bullies. Don't tolerate them. Beware lest anyone cheat you. Cheat you of your salvation. There's a lot at stake here. We may be conned by somebody for a few bucks. You know what? Those few bucks can be replaced. If we're cheated out of our salvation, there's a lot to lose there. A lot's at stake. Our salvation was very costly. It cost the Son of God his life. It wasn't cheap. 1 Corinthians 10:12, Paul told the Christians there in Corinth, he says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That's a passage that I try to keep in the forefront of my mind. Unfortunately, it breaks my heart, and it's an eye-opening verse to me, because I have known Christians in my life that at one time they were either strong or I thought they were strong, and they've fallen away. They have left the church. Their faith has been shaken. And as sad as that is, it's an eye-opening experience for me. I don't want... Paul says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We need to make sure. And Paul is telling the people here in Colossae, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, fancy schmancy. Sounds good. Man, they it rolls off their tongue pretty slick. Empty deceit. Matthew 15:9, Jesus says, in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine. My God, am I all over your lesson? I'm sorry. That's the advantage of going first. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. And that goes along those basic principles of the world. Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus was the essence of God. No man had seen God before, but they got a glimpse of God through Jesus. John 1:1, the Apostle John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him as of the only begotten of the Father. And you are complete in him. Thanks to Jesus, we can be complete. Who is the head of all principality and power? We are complete in him. You look at that phrase, in him, just in the verses we've looked at this morning, how many times in him have been referred to? Verse 5, talking about in Christ. Verse 6, walk in him. Verse 7, built up in him. Verse 9, in him God dwells. I'm going to throw another verse in for you. This one's free. Okay? We were looking at verses 1 through 10, but skipping ahead two verses to verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. We see that we were buried and raised with him in baptism. It kind of brings a complete circle of that being in him. That's how we get in him, is in baptism. When we are obedient to God's word, I don't even know how many verses there are in the New Testament saying we have to be baptized. There's a lot. I don't know. Quite a few. Even if God said it once, it would be important. I don't even know how many times he says to be baptized. Jesus himself said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's how we get in him. This passage that we've just looked at has a ton of meat in it. Well, we did it kind of injustice looking at it for 30 minutes. But we're told to be knit together in love with the brethren. We're told to gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding through the Word of God, not the principles of men. To be steadfast in our faith and not be deceived by persuasive words or philosophy of the world. And to walk, be built up, be complete, and be buried and raised with him in baptism. These are just some of the things that we could glean out of these few verses. The lesson is yours. You've got an outline. Maybe you want to go back and look over some of those additional verses this week as a Bible study. To be saved, you have to be in him. That's scripture. You know, it's not me saying that. That's the Word of God saying it. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we can assist you with that. If you need to repent of sin, that is walking in him. You can't walk in him carrying a bunch of sin. If you need prayers of the congregation, like Deborah requested prayers, if there's something in your life that we can go to God on your behalf, with and for you, we would love to do that. Whatever your need, if you'll come forward, let your need be known while Don leads us in the invitation, we'll address your needs. Let's stand and sing.